I hope that what we're doing today is review at this point, especially because we've already actually even been tested over this in lecture. Just like last time, it's really looking at stuff. This is the last of the histology weeks, so starting next week, we're going to expand to the macroscopic world, and a lot of you might prefer that. Probably most of you will prefer that. But this is important stuff that will be on the practicum, so take a careful look at everything. Before I let you loose on that, though, let's go over some basics that really you should know very well at this point. We're doing not just connective tissue, which we did last week, but we're also doing skin. Now, why is it that we're doing skin this week when we did epithelium last week? Because skin is more than epithelium, correct. The skin is the dermis and the epidermis. Well, the epidermis, yes, is epithelium, but the dermis is connective tissue, which fits right in with today. So it's kind of, skin is last week and this week both. So there are skin models that you should look at, and there are bone models over there. The keys for these are not by the models themselves. They're on your table, so make sure you realize the keys are there. Anyway, let's, like I said, go over some quick basics. For the epidermis, for instance, it's arranged into strata. How many strata are there? Four or five, depending on the skin type, right? Four in thin skin, five in thick skin. So if we're assuming we're dealing with thick skin, let's name those strata from deep to superficial. What's first? Stratum basale. And then stratum granulosum? No. That's not next. Stratum spinosum is next. And then stratum granulosum. And then stratum lucidum, assuming we're in thick skin. It wouldn't be there at all if it were thin. And then the superficial most one is stratum corneum. The hardest cells are in that. They're cornified. They're horny. Or hard. Alright, so that's basics of epidermis. Let's switch to connective tissue. Now, connective tissue in general, if you think of the hierarchical arrangement of connective tissue, the primary way of looking at it is that there are two primary parts to any connective tissue, right? What are those? Extracellular matrix and what else? No, ground substance is part of extracellular matrix. And cells themselves. Doesn't make sense to call something extracellular unless it's outside of cells. So those are the two major parts of any connective tissue. Thinking just about the cells, there are, functionally speaking, three major kinds of cells in connective tissues. What are those? Correct. Blasts do what? Create what? They create what? What do blasts create? Extracellular matrix, yes. What about sites? They maintain the extracellular matrix, and clasts degrade the extracellular matrix. Okay, so you put different prefaces on those words depending on which specific tissue you're in, like osteoblasts versus chondroblasts and so on. All right, that leaves the extracellular matrix, the other major or primary subdivision. You can break it down into secondary subdivisions. What are the two major parts of extracellular matrix? Fibers and ground substance, correct. So focusing just on the fibers, there's three major fiber types. What are those? No, those are categories of connective tissue as a whole. What did you say? Collagenous or just collagen fibers, either is acceptable. That's one. Elastic fibers. And reticular, good. Reticular fibers have what as their hallmark? What's, how do you know they're reticular? They're branched. They also happen to be pretty delicate. Elastic fibers obviously are elastic, so they will recoil after the force that stretches them is eliminated. And collagenous or collagen fibers are very strong. They have great tensile strength, so they resist being stretched. They withstand the load, basically. All right, that leaves the other part of extracellular matrix, which is the ground substance. And it's the ground substance, really, that makes this fourth type of tissue, connective tissue, by far the most highly variable. You know, there are different kinds of epithelium, but they're all basically the same in how they look and their consistency and everything. Same is true for nervous tissue and for muscle tissue. But there's a wide variety of connective tissue types, mostly because the ground substance itself is so variable from tissue type to tissue type. I mean, the extremes are blood and bone, right? You go from totally liquid to totally solid. Now, speaking of blood, the blood is the name for the entire tissue. Whole blood is the whole connective tissue. Of course, there's the cellular component, just like in any connective tissue. That's a combination of red blood cells, which is most of them by far. But there's also five major types of white blood cells that are part of that cellular component. And then you have extracellular matrix. What do we call that in the case of blood? Plasma. That's the entire extracellular matrix of blood. Just like any other extracellular matrix, that has fibers in it and ground substance. When you remove the fibers from the extracellular matrix, you're left with what in blood? Serum. That's the difference between plasma and serum. The other extreme, we have bone, which we've been talking about in lecture quite a bit. What are the major types of bone? I don't mean the shapes, because there's four shapes of bones. I'm talking about bone tissue. Compact and spongy, otherwise known as what? Cancellous. Spongy and cancellous are interchangeable. Correct. And when you think about how these things are built out of subunits, what are the subunits of cancellous bone? Trabeculae. Yeah, the little beams is what it literally means. Whereas compact bone is made out of what subunits? What other kinds of subunits? Osteons, exactly. Those are the straws I was talking about by analogy in the box. All right, so that you get a good look at that on those models tonight, the compact and spongy, but especially compact bone, and a good look at some skin structures as well. Don't forget about the demo scopes, but you also, of course, have your own scopes to look at slides that are in the little booklet. Remember, you can keep the scopes out. You don't even have to unplug them. Just cover them up as part of cleaning up. That's it.